Come on, why don't you give him the praise he deserves this morning? Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's in this place. He's in this room right now. And man, what an awesome day. Isn't it great to be together on Easter Sunday celebrating our risen Lord? And how about a weekend where it's actually warm outside, everybody? It feels nice out there. Oh, man. Hey, would you help me right now welcome everyone who's joining us online and all of our first-time guests who are in the service this morning? Let's let them know how glad we are that they are here. Thank you for hanging out with us. And today's a big day for us launching our live stream and a brand new website. And I want to take advantage of having the microphone for just a second. My wife and I, we both have family in different parts of the country who've never been able to come here. They've never been able to visit us. They've never been able to experience a True Life Church service, and this morning there are. So, hi, Mom. Hi, Grandpa and Nana, Don and Sandy. Hi, Shane and Angela and Michael, and anybody else who's hanging out with us. And to anyone else who's hanging out, we're glad that you're hanging out with us today. Thank you all for indulging me and abusing my power this morning by welcoming family. But it's really, really cool. And the really other cool part of that is they'll get to watch it today. And tomorrow, my family's going on vacation. We're getting on an airplane and we're going to go see all of them. And we'll find out whether or not it actually worked. So I may have said hi. Are we doing good, Jeff? Big weekend for us. You may have noticed lots of new things if you call True Life home. And I got to give a shout out to our creative team, Brianne Rust, Nadia. I know Kevin helped out. Jeff helped out. And we actually yesterday went live with a brand new website. We took advantage of these new top-level domains. I know to a lot of you that means nothing, but it's no longer a .com or a .net or a .org or .tv. Our new website is just truelife.church. Isn't that cool? It just kind of says what we are. And so I thought it'd be fun. I asked Todd if we could do this, and he tells me that we can. I thought it'd be fun for us just to show you. We can actually go right now to, there it is, the brand new website up, running live. And here's the other cool part. Todd, go ahead over there and click on the live webcast. And this is all new today. Let's see if it's working. Look, we can even hear the clicks. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead. Scroll down there. Click play. Uh-oh. It is working, though, I promise. It's working. It's probably just the browser that this uses. We can't feed it through there. But we're streaming live right now, right, guys? We're doing it. We are out there live, and we are just obviously masters of technology. I mean, look at that. That was awesome. So a couple things. We had a couple mistakes in the – we fired the wrong videos there. That Kids Life program, Into the Wild, actually launched today. They're beginning that today, so they're over there hanging out in the jungle, in the safari. And then Mood Swingers, a brand new series, kicks off next week, not in 2 weeks. And you'll actually be hearing from one half of our Next Generations pastors, Joel and Janelle Mears. And Joel will be up here kicking off that series next week, and it is going to be outstanding. And we will join all of you on the live stream. We'll be watching from a computer in sunny Florida. All right, we're going to go hang out with Mickey and family. It's going to be awesome. So come on, aren't you thankful for what Jesus did, that he rose up from the grave, that he came back for us? And man, it's going to be a great day. I just wanted to share some stuff with you this morning. And you know, when I think about Easter, I think about this miracle that we're celebrating, Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I don't know if you've ever, I'm not trying to be morbid today, but if you've ever really kind of experienced death, or even, has anybody ever had like a near-death experience? Anybody had a near-death? Just show of hands. Anybody ever had or your version, what you thought? Maybe, you know, like I'm scared of salt water. I don't want to swim anywhere where I can't see the bottom or something could eat me. So for me, every trip to the beach is a near-death experience. You know what I'm saying? Anybody ever had your version of near-death? Anybody ever had that? I've had some near-death experiences in my life. I remember, I've probably shared some of our missions trip stories with you before. My wife and I used to be youth pastors, and so we would do something that you have to be really brave to do. We would load up 25, 30, 40 teenagers and take them to another country with limited adult supervision. We call that ministry. You think your job's tough. We took teenagers to El Salvador. I mean, and I remember my first time in El Salvador, we would go and stay at this big campground. It was called Castillo del Rey. You hear that? Any of my Latino brothers, you hear how I can roll that L right there? You hear that, or that R? I got this. It's Castillo del Rey. Come on, yeah? I got it. Couple Caucasians are going, what's he doing? What is wrong with this dude? And I remember our first time there, it's interesting. If you've never been to a third world country, it's an interesting experience. Even just the airport, we get off the airplane and there are people walking around with huge military assault rifles. That's their security. I mean, guys. And then they had this, we have metal detectors and all this stuff. They were worried about you bringing things into their country that didn't belong there. And so in El Salvador, you would come up to the airport, and just to get out of the airport, once you got through customs and stuff, they had these lines with big, like, traffic signals, red, yellow, green. That's the three colors. Yeah, red, yellow, green. Traffic. And you would walk up, and you would push a button and hope for green. And it was totally random. Like, you would push the button, and then it would just ran. And if you got red, you were getting the mega search. If you got yellow, they were going through your bags. And by mega, I don't want to talk about mega search. It's not appropriate on Easter. But it was not fun. And so you would just, so after all these teams coming to El Salvador, eventually they would let the first person in the team push the button. And if you got green, they'd let your whole team go through. So we were really thankful for that. But then you would get on a bus with like a crazy bus driver, crazy Salvadorian bus driver. And the camp that we would go to is out on the side of a mountain. And the only way you could get to the camp is to take the bus on these dirt roads. And literally, you would look out of your window on the bus, and there's no shoulder to the road. You just look down, and it's like a 100-foot cliff down into a crater lake in this mountain. And so I remember just like you, that's why you do missions trips. You get really close to Jesus. You learn how to pray when you're looking out the window and you can't see the bottom. I've had a few of those. I know I've shared some missions trip stories. Did I ever share the time with you guys when we were in El Salvador and we were out ministering to people in a Salvadorian jungle, and I got stuck in quicksand while fighting with a demon possessed? Did I ever share that? It's because it didn't happen. I didn't do that. Never happened. It'd be an awesome story though, wouldn't it? Was it quicksand? No, I remember one time we pulled into this project, this housing project. We're there to minister, and so we would do these programs. We'd pull into a neighborhood, and it's really slums. It's horrible, awful living conditions. And we would pull in, and if you know anything about El Salvador, you know gang violence was just huge there over the last couple decades. And so you have you had two rival gangs, and the big one was MS-13. And so we'd pull into these areas, and we would literally have to find the local leader of the gang for that area and get permission to come into the area. And then once you had their permission, they would actually protect you. So we would be standing out there dancing, doing these little programs, sharing the gospel with little children. They're all sitting, and around the back of us are Salvadorian gang members with like giant handguns tucked in the back of their jeans, just like, but they're protecting you. They're on your team. And so, man, I've had a couple scary near-death experiences. My wife would tell you that anytime you ride in the car with me, that's a near-death experience. I got another one. Can I just share near-death? That's the whole message today. We're just going to talk about my wife and I, when we lived in Jacksonville, Florida, we built a house. And when they build these new neighborhoods there, I don't recommend building a house at the peak of the real estate bubble. That's a different message, different story. So we built a house, and when they build houses there, they go in and clear out, you know, big pieces of wooded area. And Florida isn't like here. Like, there's a lot of wildlife, big wildlife in Florida. You've got alligators. You've still got some panthers. And we were right near the Florida-Georgia border. We're in North Florida, and that's bear country. There's black bears there. And so ours was one of the very first houses to be completed. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. One of the very first houses to be completed in this new development. And so we move in, get all our stuff in, and it was like the first or second night there. I decided to grill some hot dogs. So I rolled a grill out the garage in our driveway there and on the edge of the driveway, grilled hot dogs, got them on the plate, pulled the grill in, shut the garage door, and no more had I gotten into the kitchen than I hear this bam, bam on the garage door. And so I go over and look. I'm not going to open the door, but I go over and look out the window, and it's just dark enough that I can see the back end of what is either a panther or a bear or the world's biggest dog running away like he had smelled the hot dogs. And, of course, I'm such a genius. I wanted to really know what it was, so I opened the door and threw a hot dog out there and then waited to see if he'd come back. He didn't come back. I wanted a picture. Just a few weeks ago, I was I was jogging in my neighborhood, and I sometimes will jog at nighttime. And so I'm jogging around the neighborhood, and if you ever had that, especially when it's dark outside, that feeling, that sensation that someone else is near or coming close, you know? And so you go, some of you go into like karate mode. I go into scream like a girl mode because I don't know karate. And when you've been running and you're out of shape, you're already tired. So running faster is not really an option. So I get that feeling, right? And I look over my shoulder, and here comes, it's Cujo. It's Cujo the dog. I mean, he is charging me like I'm dinner. And I'm thinking, God, of all the ways that I could go, really? They're going to find me in the morning in the middle of the neighborhood half eaten by Cujo. And so the dog's coming at me, and I do one of these. And he just, whoa, 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 and he gets right up, and he just, that this house had one of those invisible fences. And he's wearing the, so he gets right up to the, whoa, 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 and stops. Don't put invisible fences in your yard if people run in your neighborhood. I mean, I'm just like, oh, God. That's the whole thing with invisible. I don't know it's there. Some near-death experiences. Come on, how many know when Jesus died, it wasn't a near-death experience? The Bible teaches us that he was all the way dead. You know why some of the followers of Jesus had such a hard time at first with the story of his resurrection? Is because they actually saw him dead, like all the way dead. They saw him take the whips and the beatings and the crown of thorns. And they understood whenever they laid him in that tomb that Jesus hadn't just had a near-death experience, but his body was completely and totally lifeless. It was complete death, real death. And like I said, I don't mean to be morbid today, but I still remember like the first time I understood death and I was around real death. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and then my great-grandmother passed away. It was my first real funeral of a family member. Her name was Grandma Bray. Sweet lady. I was too young to really remember too much about her, but I remember going to visit her in the nursing home and different things, and then she passed away. And I remember going by the casket at that very first funeral and looking at her, and like, there's just something about the finality of seeing someone who really is like all the way dead, you know, all the way dead. And that's, to me, that helps us understand the power of the miracle of Easter. Jesus didn't have a near-death experience. He was all the way completely dead. My great-grandmother, Grandma Bray, was all the, I mean, she was completely, if great-grandma Bray shows up at Easter lunch today, I'm peeing my pants. You know what I'm saying? Can you say that on Easter? Can you say peeing my pants? She was all, and so I even think about Thomas, right? We call him Doubting Thomas, but Thomas wasn't even there for the original appearance of Jesus. He sees him like on the second or third go-around, and Jesus is going, hey, why are you having an issue with this? And if I'm Thomas, I'm going, because I saw you all the way dead. Completely dead. It was a complete death. How many know Jesus died all the way for our benefit? Was buried for our benefit? Was raised to life for our benefit? And so today, just quickly, I want to show you how all three of those components can play a role in our lives, and they play a huge role in the good news of the gospel. I want to look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we've talked a lot about Corinthians in our church over the last couple months. If you want to go back and listen to some of the messages, you can. But a little bit about the church at Corinth. They're in a culture that's not all that different from what we live in today. Obviously not the technology we have, but it was a very secular culture, very pagan, a lot of Greek mythology. And when it came to being Christ followers, when it came to Christianity, the church was experiencing a lot of visitors, a lot of unbelievers, a lot of skeptics, a lot of people who were trying to go, I'm not really sure about this whole Jesus thing. And so Paul writes to that church, because how many know the church has a tendency to overcomplicate things sometimes? And he writes this to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, and he breaks it down and he says, listen, guys, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. In other words, let's not overcomplicate it here. Let's get down to the root of the matter. Let's talk about what's most important in our lives if we're going to be followers of Jesus. He says, Christ died for our sins, not a near-death experience, all the way dead. Just as the scripture said, verse 4, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. One truth in this passage that Paul shares in three components. He says, look, here's the most important thing that I've passed on to you. That's what was passed on to me. Jesus died for you, he was buried for you, and he rose again on the third day for you. Everybody say, I know we don't always like call and response church services, but you need to get this in you. Everybody say, it was for me. Because it was. It was for you. It was for all of us. One truth in three components. So let me just give those to you quickly. Here's the first one. Number one, Christ died. Christ died. What did that do for us? Well, it was the death of Jesus Christ that brings forgiveness and salvation. Christ died, bringing forgiveness and salvation. Prior to the death of Jesus Christ, there was this story that would just play on repeat over and over and over again in the Jewish culture, where sin would overtake the people's lives, and then they would come to a point where they understood they had to get freedom from sin, but the only way you could do that, the only way you could atone for the penalty of sin was through the shedding of blood, and so they would have to sacrifice and go through this process of putting those sins on another animal, And it wasn't working, because God's heart all along wasn't for people to just have a routine to go through. It was for him to be in relationship with them. He wants to be in relationship with you and I. And so ultimately his plan has always been to find a way to be in relationship with each and every one of us. And the only way he could break the cycle, the curse of sin, was to have one perfect sacrifice that satisfied the penalty for sin once and for all. A lot of times people think, man, I have so many mistakes in my life. I have so many things that I've done wrong. God must be so angry at me. No, he's not angry at you, because his wrath was exercised once and for all the day Jesus Christ was on the cross for you. He gathered all of the sin from past, present, and future. He took all of his wrath and anger towards that sin, and he executed the wrath on the cross with Jesus Christ on that day, the one perfect sacrifice who covers all of it for us. And how many know we're free from the penalty of sin because of what Jesus did for us? That's good news this morning. He died one time as the perfect sacrifice. He paid the debt of sin. He handled the sin issue. Can I share something with you this morning? Your sin is not actually the thing that keeps you from being in relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus handled the sin issue. He fixed it on the cross. He took it out of the way. Jesus himself says the issue now is that you have to believe on me. So sin's not the issue. What's the issue? It's unbelief. Jesus said anyone who believes on the Son has everlasting life. Freedom. And when you receive Christ, you get under the covering of the punishment that was already taken by Jesus for your sins. He did it for you. You know, the longer I serve Jesus, the more I realize how much I need forgiveness. The more I realize, like, just how messed up and flawed I am, and how desperately I need a Savior in my life. And I would argue that if your life in Christ doesn't continually reveal how much you need him, maybe you need to get back to the basics and re-examine it, because we're all kind of broken and messed up people without Jesus. I mean, we're just a mess. I'm a mess with him. I can't imagine what my life would be without him. We need Jesus in our lives. And maybe you're thinking, man, I don't know. Michael, I feel pretty squeaky clean right now. I don't really know if I need forgiveness. Well, I would just encourage you to talk with anyone who lives with you. Ask them if you need forgiveness. I see some of you writing a list right now. You're hoping somebody asks. You're like, oh, I'm going to tell them. That's why, I know you guys have heard me say this a lot, There are some mornings in my house, just because I know how much I need forgiveness, where I wake up and I look at my wife and I just say, hey, good morning, I'm sorry. I don't even know. I just assume there's probably something I need to be sorry for. Guys, you can use that. Feel free to just good morning, baby. I'm sorry. She's gonna be like, that's good. I've been thinking about it. And you're gonna be like, I'm sorry. Just stick with that. It'll help you. Christ died, bringing forgiveness and salvation. How many know that wasn't the end of the story? He died. Salvation became available to us. But what happened next is equally as significant. Christ died, and then Christ was buried. He was buried in that tomb. And the reason this is part of the story is because when Christ goes into the tomb, it signifies putting an end to our past and our patterns that are broken and messed up. I don't know about you, but I need my past to be in the past. I need some of the patterns, some of the habits that come naturally to me, I need those to be put away. I need those to be broken off of my life. And that's what Jesus going into the tomb represents. He died, bringing forgiveness and salvation. He was buried, putting an end to our past and our patterns. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, we were buried, therefore, with him, by baptism into death, in order that, and I've underlined that in my notes. I think you should highlight it or underline it or save it somewhere. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So you're forgiven and you're saved through his death, but it gets better because God wants to bury your past. He wants to put an end to the hold that your past and your mistakes and your regrets have on you. Come on, I'm giving you some good news this morning that with Jesus, you can live a life with no more sorrow, no more regret, no more shame, no more bondage, no more chains. This is why In the Christian faith, this thing we do called water baptism is so important. Because it's this outward act that signifies what has happened on the inside of us. That's why in our church we practice what we call full immersion baptism. We are putting you under the water. And so you just want to make sure you're on good terms with your pastor before this. We good? No. We'd never do that. Might. Probably won't. So this signifies when we go into the water, it signifies, man, the old me is gone. And because of Jesus Christ and what he went through, I'm being buried with him. The old me is being buried with him. And when I come up out of the water, it signifies this new life that I have through my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's good news. It's good news. If you find yourself today, maybe you're one of those skeptics, one of those unbelievers, but you're carrying some baggage, you're carrying some shame, you're carrying some guilt. I have good news for you today. He was buried so that all that stuff you're carrying around can be buried too. You can have newness of life. You can walk in freedom through relationship with Christ Jesus. And here's some really cool news. I'll just go ahead and share this with you. One of the biggest events our church does happens at the end of May. We do this big Memorial Day picnic. And so I've been talking with one of the families in our church. You might know them. Their names are Fulton and Pam Owensby. They're just awesome people. How many of you had a chance to know Fulton and Pam? And so, like, I was talking to Pam a few weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, we're not really sure where we're going to do the picnic. And she was like, you're doing it at my house. I'm like, settle down, Pam. Take it easy. All right? She's like, no, we're ready. You're doing it. We've got room for... And so the really cool thing about this property is there's a swimming pool there. So not only are we going to go out and party and have fun on Memorial Day and eat lots of great food, but for those of you who have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior but have not yet gone through the process of water baptism, we're going to have an opportunity right there with our church family gathered together, partying and having a good time to hop in the pool and have a baptism moment right there on Memorial Day. Come on, it doesn't get any better than that. That's going to be a fun day. And when you come up out of the water, it signifies that you identify with Christ. The old you is gone. The new you is here. My brother and I have a younger brother. He's about 5 years younger than me. And when we were growing up, we had a Nintendo. Well, how many remember the original NES, Nintendo Entertainment System? I mean, it was life was easier then. Up, down, left, right. Start, select, A, B. Now you got to like use your hands and your feet if you're going to play a video game. I mean, life was easier. And so not only we'd have a Nintendo, but we had the best sports game ever made for Nintendo. Some of you are old enough to remember what I'm going to talk about right now, Tecmo Super Bowl. I mean, this was the best football game on the face of the planet. And it had no realism at all. It was not like a real football. I mean, it had touchdowns. That's about as real as it got. But it was the best football game ever. And so we would play, you could play complete NFL seasons. Like, so I had my team, my brother has his team, and so we'd work through the season. Inevitably, at some point, my team's going to play his team. And this is a problem for brothers who are 5 years apart. There's a sibling rivalry piece to all of this. And so we would start to play, and inevitably, one of us would start winning. One of us would be whooping the other. I'm not going to say which one won the most, except it was me. All right. No, it was we were back and forth. But one of us would start winning, and neither one of us wanted to lose. We hated losing to the other one. And so you could kind of see it happening. If one of us was losing, we would start kind of just changing our position in the room a little bit. Like slide. Because here's the thing about Tecmo Super Bowl. If the game finishes, then the results are final. But if somebody hits the reset button before the game is over, it's as if you never played the game to begin with. And so, this would happen all, I mean, we got in so much trouble because this would result in fistfights. So one of us is winning, there's 5 seconds left in the game, and then you would just act like you got a cramp in your leg, and you're like, "Whoa, no!" And you kick the reset button on the Nintendo. And the game is, it's as if it never happened. Back to 0-0. The score is back to the very beginning. You know what I love about the God we serve? You know what I love about the fact that he was buried for us so that our past could be put away? Because the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? It means you may go through a day full of mistakes. You may go through a day full of embarrassment. But guess what? Check it out. Sometime during the night when you're sleeping, the God of the universe just gets up, walks over to the console, and hits reset and sets the score back to 0-0. He's the God of the reset. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're way out in front winning. It doesn't feel like you've never had a winning day in your life. Every day you get a reset. You get a do-over. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us. A lot of people get this. They get the whole Jesus died, I'm saved. He buried my past and my mistakes. That's good news. I like that. But a lot of us get stuck here. And they think these first two points is kind of where the Christian life ends. And we even get stuck in this thinking that says, all right, well cool. I came to church. I had a good experience. I prayed a prayer. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Now I've just got to try to figure out how to stop being a bad person and figure out how to be more good. And we think that the rest of our life is this struggle towards becoming more good than we used to be. But that's not the way it works. He died for our salvation. He was buried so that our past could be buried. But number three, Christ was risen. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what we're celebrating today. Why? Because through his resurrection, it empowers us to live free and in newness of life. Jesus was raised in newness of life. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, this is one of the most profound scriptures in all of the Bible. When you understand what this passage is saying about those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Now just stop. Let's just stop right there. Jesus was all the way dead. Not a near-death experience. All the way dead in the tomb. I mean, like, how many... Can you even begin to fathom the kind of power that it must take? Not after a couple hours. Not after 24 hours. Not after 48 hours. After 36 hours. What kind of power must it take to take a body that was completely... all the way dead and bring it back to life? Maybe you get it. I have a hard time even wrapping my head around what that would take to do that. I mean, it's not like you just walk in there with a defibrillator. something beyond the realm of anything we could ever comprehend happened inside that tomb. Something more powerful than anything we could describe in human words happened inside of that tomb. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, now watch the next three words, lives in you. Lives in you. And, as if that's not enough, just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life. Everybody say, will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. In other words, before Jesus, I'm dead man walking. There is no life in me. There is no spiritual life in me. I don't have any capacity, any power within myself to bring life to anything in my life, anything in my world. I can't bring life to my coworkers. I can't bring life to my career. I can't bring life to my finances. I can't bring life to my marriage or to my dating life if you're single. I don't have the ability to do any good for any of those things. I can't bring life to those things. In fact, the harder I try without Jesus, the more I'll just bring death. But on the day I came into relationship with Jesus Christ, on the day I made him Lord and Savior of my life, this passage says that the same power, the same Spirit that did whatever happened inside that tomb on that day, that rolled the stone away and made Jesus Christ walk out, risen Lord and Savior, comes to life on the inside of me and touches now my mortal being. And that means now I have the ability, the opportunity to bring that same life and that same power to every single piece of my life. Are you getting this morning? I mean, like maybe you walked in today, minutes away, one more fight, and we're getting divorced. My kids, what do I do with my kids? They're just so messed up and they're making bad choices. I don't know what to do. Listen, I'm not telling you that it's all going to fix itself overnight, but I'm telling you if Jesus Christ is in your life, you now have the power and the authority to speak life into situations that look dead today. It looked really bleak when they laid him in the tomb, but something happened on the inside, and the same Spirit that brought Jesus up from the grave comes to life inside of us when we meet him. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. But if you have Jesus, you have access to peace, power, and hope alive on the inside of you. That's why the gospel has never been about making bad people good. It's always been about bringing dead people to life. That's really what the church is all about. Can I tell you that the church isn't about people's egos or money or buildings? It's about leading people to experience the newness of life that we have through Jesus Christ. Life to your mortal bodies. And that's why this next passage becomes even more important. Romans 8, verse 12. Our worship team is going to come up while I'm reading this because they're going to get ready to close out the service for us. Romans 8, 12 just says this, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. No obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. I like no obligation stuff. Anybody ever had like a good no obligation experience? Like when you have a day to kill and you go visit like a BMW dealership and pretend you have more money than you do. And you take a no obligation test drive. Right? You shouldn't do that. That's like lying. You shouldn't do that. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Can I just tell you, like, before I met Jesus, before I really understood who he was in my life and what he desired for me and what he had for me, I was worn out by the obligation to sin on my life. I was tired. I was frustrated with who I was. In fact, I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know if there was any meaning, if there was any purpose for my life. Is it just about trying to survive and be as happy as possible until it ends? I was held to this obligation of sin. So I just got to ask you this morning, like, if that's where you find yourself, aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of being obligated to the hurt from your past and the regret and the shame and the guilt? Aren't you tired of being obligated to that bad temper or that secret sin that you're dealing with that nobody else knows about that you just hope never comes to this? Aren't you sick of being obligated to that thing? Listen, I'm telling you, the whole reason Jesus came up out of the grave was because when he did, he proved that he wasn't crazy, that he was who he said he was, and then he imparted us with the power to live new lives free from the obligations that used to be put on our lives. That's what he came for. The resurrection, I love this. I stole this from my pastor, Stovall Weems, down in Florida. He says this: the resurrection did away with obligation and gave us liberation. It's for freedom. That's what the Bible says. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And here's the deal, man. While he was in that tomb, while he was buried, the Bible teaches us not only did he come out alive, resurrected, and full of power and impart that to us, but he went and kind of like kicked the teeth in on the devil. It says he overcame death, hell, and the grave and took the keys to death. Took the keys of hell from Satan. In other words, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb that was slain for us, went into that grave and conquered on our behalf. And the lamb overcame. And he wants you to rise up and get out of your mess, get out of your depression, get out of your despair. As the lights come down, I want you to just listen to this last line that I want to share with you. Jesus Christ overcame so that you could overcome.
The sorrow of defeat, but forgiveness was his cry as his blood ran down for me. How the Father's heart was torn as his only son was slain, but the earth would soon rejoice from the place where hope was laid. Come on, let's stand to our feet, church, as we continue to worship God. For the Lamb has overcome.